Jingle the Bells. I'm Santa.
And I'm Buddy the Elf?
Yes, you are. And welcome to RTR Forward, where we talk about everything, anything, pioneer, standard, historic, other formats. Ah, you know the intro. So, we got some interesting things to talk about today. First off, we're on Spotify, so if you're not on Spotify listening, you should get on Spotify and listen. Ain't nobody download things nowadays. Just get on Spotify or any other streaming service that's Spotify or YouTube.
I download stuff a lot, namely Magic Arena every time I play it.
Yep, me too. Welcome to part two of the MTG Year in Review, where we're going to be looking through all the months of 2019, talking about all kinds of MTG stuff, like set releases, banned and restricted announcements, stuff like that. Quick fun fact, did you know there are, 32 cards banned in MTG? Did you know that, David? I think it's 32 cards. There are 32 cards banned this year so far.
I mean, I believe you.
Yeah. Can you tell me who the number one banned card was? Got banned four times, four different formats?
Yeah, that would be Planeswalker deck Oko, right?
Yep. Yep. Oko the Trickster, the six mana copy creatures. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He got banned four different times. Runners Up, or Once Upon a Time, Veil of Summer, and Field of the Dead, all banned in three different formats. Standard, Historic, and Pioneer, even though Historic's technically suspended, but they're going to get banned.
We're calling them bans.
They're basically bans.
Because we don't work for Wizards of the Coast.
We're not in charge of giving out, you know, wild cards. They are.
Yes, they are.
So let's step our way right into June. This is June 2019, back in the summer. Actually, it was pre-summer, right? Summer happens in July, right? I don't actually know.
All I know is I think summer starts in the middle of June, technically. So,
okay. Well, I know winter started last week.
I don't know, man. I'm not a meteorologist.
But we had, we're going to just go ahead and walk through. So War of the Spark came out in May, early May. So in June, I went ahead and pulled down some metagame data, allowing us to see some of the decks that people play at the time. We're going to kind of rattle off back and forth about them. So first off, my baby, I like this deck a lot. And speaking of earlier in, you know, last episode, we talked about how good the standard mana base is. And this is to show we had four color Dreadhorde. It was white. It was black. It was green. It was blue. And not red. It was just those four colors. But it was honestly really successful. Command the Dreadhorde being that six mana sorcery?
Sorcery.
That allows you to pick and choose things out of graveyards, preferably creatures and planeswalkers, and then they deal damage to you equal to their converted mana cost, and you return them to the battlefield. So, honestly, it proved to be a pretty good deck, because you had the Explore package at the time, which allowed you to bring back Wild Growth Walker, as well as all the Explore creatures, gaining all that life back immediately, being able to reanimate Teferis, big Teferis, tiny Teferis, Lilianas, all kinds of stuff.
Well, the big thing was you had Teferi Time Raveler down, and you just did it on your opponent's end step.
You're right.
And swung a lot the next turn.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, no. Yep. Just that card at instant speed? Nutty.
Yep, most sorceries at instant speed are, I would say, better.
Yeah, especially when you know they get higher in mana cost. Like, they're just better cards.
Yep. So, yeah, other than four-color Dreadhorde, we also had classic mono-red aggro. You know, the classic.
The top of the line. Yep. This is Goblin Chain Whirler.
Yep. So it ran the new Chandra from War of the Spark, the Artisan, or Fire Artisan, not the Artisan. I'm sure there's other artisans.
There could be. But I know she's the one of fire.
But yep, she was the one that you could plus her and
exile
cast. Well,
not really draw.
You exile the card and then you can cast it.
It's on a red's version of drawing cards.
Right. And then you, if she lost loyalty counters for any reason, you could deal that much damage to a player.
Or Planeswalker.
That was interesting because if you had, like, Gruul Spellbreaker, they were forced to either hit Chandra or themselves in the face.
Which is pretty nice. Pretty fun.
But it also had Tibble, which keeps your opponent from gaining life.
And better than the 2-mana one, because of that reason alone. And it's not a creature, so you can't kill spell it with a creature removal spell. It can also create little bodies, little demons that deal 1 damage when they die, so he can protect himself in a roundabout way.
We also had Runaway Steamkin, which is the boy that you get counters on when you cast a red spell, and then once it has 3 counters, you can remove those said counters. and float 3 red mana. And then it had the aforementioned Goblin Chain Whirler, which smacked everything for 1 when it came onto the battlefield.
It's the cream of the crop. Best mono red card just out of everything. Just able to just mow down tokens. You know, that's one of mono red's biggest problems. Is you got a board full of X1s, and they're just going to keep chump blocking your creatures, but Goblin Chain Whirler comes in, smacks them all in the face, and they all die.
Yep.
So, Elvish Mystics and Llanowar Elves, arch nemesis, for sure. But this is a little bit of a repeat, Esper Hero. Esper Hero was already starting to see play a little bit, but it got even more popular because Hero Precinct 1 came out in Ravnica Allegiance. But so they got additions of Narset, Parter of Veils, just allowing you to dig more for your multicolor spells. You had Teferi Time Raveler, basically cut, you know, force your opponent to play Hearthstone. Can't cast anything on your turn, so really forces your opponent to be more proactive on their turn instead of reactive. And then cards like Liliana, Dreadhorde General, just a nice top end. Makes zombies, makes you sacrifice stuff. When creatures die, you draw cards. Just a all-around good card. And then Dobin's Veto, allowing them a little bit of a leg up in the control matches. Having an uncounterable in the gate is pretty good. And then D-Spark, which is just a solid 2-mana removal spell. It exiles any, I think it's any non-land permanent, 4 or greater mana cost for 2 mana. Not bad, white and a black. Triggers up your Hero Precinct 1 and makes you a 1-1 along the way. So just a good stack of cards. A lot of value.
And similarly to Esper Hero, we had Jeskai Super Friends. So flip out of color, but the deck plays completely differently. So it used Fibblethip the Lost, because it liked legendary things. Hence the reason why it played Mox Ambers. Narset again. Same deal. Just go get your non-creature spells. Sarkhan the Masterless was one of the main win cons of that deck, where you just turn all your planeswalkers into 5/5 dragons till the end of the turn and smack your opponent. Are they actually dragons?
I think it was 4/4 dragons.
You're right.
Yeah. I feel like
4/4, 5/5.
I feel like that deck would have been a lot better if it was 5/5 dragons.
Well, obviously, you add some power toughness to anything and it's going to be better.
But it's a good card.
Use some Deafening Clarion to honestly gain life half the time, and, you know, also that nice board wipe.
Yeah.
And Teferi, because you're playing blue-white, you're playing Teferi.
You'll start to notice as we move on through the year after Where the Spark came out that any deck that's playing blue or white definitely has 4 of Teferi Time Raveler in there. Just like we see with Oko in the more recent time, with any deck that had blue or green in it, definitely had Oko. We're starting to see here the dominance of 3-mana walkers with Narset and Teferi, and some less known ones like Vivian was pretty good. The one that lets you cast creature spells and instant speed. She was also 3-mana and stuff like that.
Was Ikora 3-mana too? She saw Kiora some play. Yeah,
Kiora was 3-mana. Yeah, she ramped you up. I mean, she was basically mono blue ramp because you can play her in her mono blue deck and she ramped you up.
Yep.
Pretty good. But yeah. Gruul Midrange was another deck that kind of some of the pieces of it had already been around, but Domri and Archibolus kind of slot right in there in the 3-mana slot, allowing you to add mana, make your stuff uncounterable, which is pretty cool. And then Downticking to just have your creatures fight creatures. So he was just a really good card against control because he made your things uncounterable. Really good against creature decks because he made it where your creatures could fight. So he's a removal spell on a stick for the most part. Just all around a really nice card in like a Gruul Midrange deck. Running cards like Nullhide Ferox, just a 4-mana 6/6 with Hexproof. But then you can remove its ability from him. Stuff like that. But just a big beater. Paradise Druid, which was a new addition from this set, which is just a 2-mana 2/1. It's a green and a colorless for a elf druid that can that has Hexproof when it's untapped, and you can tap her for any color of mana. So just some really nice fixing for a lot of decks. The fact that she's hexproof makes her less prone to be removed until you actually get to use her. At the time, though, she is 1 toughness, so still not too great against a Goblin Chain Whirler, but still just a solid card. And then Growth Chamber Guardian, just another solid card that has seen a lot of play since Ravnica Allegiance. Just a lot of card advantage and just makes you a little 4/4s. So just all around, just a very aggressive.
Yeah, then the last one we're going to talk about on this particular metagame is Bant Midrange, which was my favorite from this set. Because it had that God Eternal Oketra, which anytime you cast a creature, I believe it's cast. Cast a creature, you get one of them 4/4 zombies that has vigilance. And, I mean, it ran blue and white, so our boy was in it, Teferi. I say our boy. I really hate him.
David hates him so much.
And then we had Vivian, Champion of the Wilds, who hasn't seen a lot of play recently, but she gives all your creatures flash, which is pretty cool, and she can look at the top three, and if you have a creature, you probably want to keep the creature, because you can't cast the card that you exile that way if it's not a creature.
Yep.
And then Hydroid Crassus, which turns out is a really good card when you can play it at instant speed as well, with Vivian's ability. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, buddy.
And then, yeah. Woo. Classic Llanowar Elves, because, you know, ramping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a very fun deck to play. It was, it wasn't tier one by any means, but it was a good mid-range deck that was, had many lines of play in it.
Yeah, and this metagame list isn't just, you know, the decks that were played at the time. Simic Nexus is also, was also really popular. It got the addition of Tamiyo and some other things like Mono White Aggro, stuff like that. Just things that were already really prevalent at the time that didn't really get a whole lot of new additions. I didn't really feel, I kind of wanted to put the more spicier things on this list, because not a lot of these decks at this time continued on as time progressed. I think Esper Hero ended up being the top meta deck at the time, because turns out Teferi Time Rob is really good against Simic Nexus.
Yeah.
Not being able to float mana at the end of your turn to cast your Nexus of Fate is pretty sad for the people that play those decks.
And then in the middle of June, Wizards kind of threw a curveball there.
Surprise! It's Modern Horizons. It just came out of nowhere. You like this set? It's a beautiful little set. Urza's in this set. We got other cards that are cool. We got Horizon Lands, like the, you know, like the Horizon Canopy, the land that taps for two different mana, but then you can pay one and sack it to draw a card. They went ahead and made a cycle of those in the allied colors, but they took all that and they said, little standard walked up, said, can I have it? And they said, no, I've given it to your big brother Modern. And then Modern got real whack real fast.
Yeah.
And tell us about that, David.
I just know that Hogak's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Was a thing. No longer a thing in Modern.
No, 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 not at all.
And honestly, I can't tell you about much about how exactly this deck played, because I don't play Modern. So there's that. But other notable cards from Modern Horizons. 2-mana Planeswalker? What?
It's not Tybalt?
Nope, no, it's way. Renin 6.
Oh my gosh, it's playable?
It's very playable. sees a lot of play in Legacy.
It used to.
Used to.
Yeah, it got banned recently in Legacy. Oh.
So yeah,
we'll talk about that.
I don't pay attention to those Legacy bans.
We'll talk about that in the month of November.
Force of Negation, which is pretty cool blue card. Yeah, interesting new twist.
Yeah, they decided to take the old mechanics way back in the day where you could pitch cards, so exile a card from your hand that shares a color with it and cast a spell for free. They decided to bring those back, but only make it to where you can only do it on your opponent's turn. So they made a whole cycle of them. Most of them aren't very good. The green one is decent, destroys an artifact and an enchantment. I think you can choose up to two. But the blue one is the most important one, because it's basically just a negate that you can cast for free that exiles. It's just a good card.
Yeah.
And slotted into a lot of control decks. And for, you know, more budget players like that like to play Commander and stuff like that, Force of Negation is a budget Force of Will.
Or you just play both.
Yeah, you could do that too. If you want to be that kind of person, David, you can do that too.
You know me. I don't want to be that type of person. But yeah, we also saw Arkham's Astrolabe, which got banned pretty quickly in Popper because it was very consistent in Popper.
Yeah, 1-mana cantrip, make any mana. Good card.
Yep. Still seeing some play in Wurza decks in Modern. And last but not least, those full art snow covered lands. Those were pretty cool.
I think all my lands from my commander decks are almost all full art snow covered lands, because why not? They're very pretty. I like the full art lands, but I enjoyed that the fact that they brought them to the snow covered lands, which is pretty cool.
Mine aren't, because hashtag Rebecca Gaylance.
You're right.
So, moving on in the month of June.
You're not even going to mention Urza? You completely passed up Urza.
Oh, I thought you mentioned him early.
Did I? No, that was part of the bit. So Urza, Lord High Artificer. It's the first time we get to see Urza as his own card. He's a creature. The acclaimed Planeswalker before there were Planeswalkers. Back in the late 90s, Weatherlight Saga, stuff like that. He got his own card. And it turns out, he's just as powerful on a card as he is in the lore. Because, oh my gosh, is he really good.
I mean, I don't see the complaint here from you. I mentioned Wurza. Duh.
You're right. But Urza's a nice little blue card. Can create a artifact construct when it comes in. It has X power and toughness equal to the amount of artifacts you control. Urza can tap artifacts that are untapped for blue mana, which is pretty cool. And then 5 generic mana, you can activate Urza's second ability, which allows you to shuffle your library, and then you may cast the top card of your library for free. So he's just kind of a powerhouse, really taking over some of the more older formats, like Modern, as per David mentioned, Warza. But just another really cool card. This is very much like a nostalgia set. They called it the Love Letter to Time Spiral, which was, at the time, another really unique set. There were a lot of mechanics in the set. Altogether, just a really fun set. And I'm pretty sure there's rumors that they're going to make another one.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
It sold really well and just really heavily played and drafted a lot. Just a fun all-around set.
Yeah, but moving on in the month of June, we also had a Mythic Championship. And for those of you keeping score at home, we're giving one to Chase on this one, because this was on Magic Arena.
MTG Arena, June 21st.
But yeah, we had Matthias Leverato. He won with Simic Nexus. Which, as we said, is actually kind of impressive because it's a fairy time, right?
Yeah, no, it's fairy was just running around all over the place in this tournament, so it's really surprising that he was able to come through with some kind of victory. So good on him. Good plays, for sure.
Yep. And continuing in the month of June, the Popper card pools were united. So there was this weird thing with MTGO. Their Popper pool was different than Paper Popper pool. Maybe you can extrapolate that a little bit, because I don't remember exactly why they were different.
Okay. So there are a lot of, like, being MTGO being an online platform without physical cards allowed them to kind of bypass the reserve list, since the reserve list only cares about printed cards. So they were able to reprint all kinds of cards online. And they had several Vintage Master series where they were bringing, you know, the format of Vintage and Legacy card pulls into MTGO. And through that, they downshifted a lot of cards that are uncommons or even rares in paper sets that were reprinted online in lower rarities. So, yeah, that's why there was a big disparity between cards being legal on MTGO and cards being legal on paper, because the Popper rule is if it's ever printed in a common, then you can play it. But that doesn't, at the time, it didn't apply to both MTGO and paper. But they did unite that together, so the one united card pool. So cards that were never printed in commons in paper, you could now play if they were printed in a common online. With this, they had to ban a few cards. Sinkhole was banned, which is, I think it's just a 2 black mana, destroy target land. It's a sorcery. Hymn to Turok, 2 black mana. Your opponent discards 2 cards at random. Another just really good card. And then High Tide being a 1 blue mana for an instant. And I think it's every time you tap an island, you gain an extra blue mana. So just 3 solid cards to ban, because they're all just really annoying and obnoxious. And I'm glad that they didn't even let them, you know, ride it out. They just went ahead and got rid of the problems, because I knew those would probably get banned eventually anyways.
Yeah. Wrapping up the month of June, they announced the Mastery Pass on Arena, which did not come very well.
No.
Originally.
No, people were not happy when it first came out. I remember they were like, what? A battle pass?
Basically, the issue with it was you could play every day and not get to the max level, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and because at the time they also had it to where you could pay real life money or gems to jump up tiers in the bat in the mastery pass. So people are like, wow, so if you want us to, you know, get the items all the way at the end, tier 100, you're going to make us pay more money when we're already paying money to play the mastery pass in general.
But Wizards quickly realized their mistake, and they fixed it.
They walked it back. It took a little while.
Yeah.
People were upset for a while, but they walked it back. But yeah, Master Passes are okay. I don't have an opinion.
I think it's nice to have something, and I think you get your value back if you play enough Arena. I definitely think it's worth it.
Yeah, I've been on a pretty steady cycle of being able to just, like, I think I bought the core set 2020, but then I haven't had to buy any, I haven't had to buy the Eldraine one, because just getting gems through that service and then just drafting a lot just gets you a lot of gems.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a nice little thing. It gives you, I mean, once, you know, your week ends and, or in the middle of the week, if you go ahead and you're completing all your daily quests and you're out of weekly rewards, all that stuff, and you kind of like just plan to play. I mean, I know some people really like to grind to, you know, get to higher ranks. I just like completing quests because I like getting more gems and coins. So this allows you another way to unlock more items like packs and cosmetic items and pets, which they added, starting off with a fire kitty cat. So pets are a new thing. Supposedly, I had heard rumors that the pets were part of the reason that there was a memory leak, which I could believe. But
well, the early on with the Mastery Pass, you could spam the pet emote and cause your opponent's game to crash.
I do remember that. I do remember that. So yeah, pets were an enormous advantage if you had them back in the day, because you could just spam them and be like, I don't want to play this matchup.
I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they started banning people that were doing that.
I think that, and they also immediately enabled the way for people to disable pets, so nobody could see pets, so they wouldn't crash their computer.
Yep.
So that was fun. But they introduced the card styles, so they new styles, kind of like the foils of Paper Magic. These little card styles that kind of look like 3D. It's just an interesting trickery of the art.
Yeah, they look okay. I mean, of the card styles, the only ones that I'm like, oh, those are really cool, were the stained glass planeswalkers.
Yeah, those are neat.
And those were still like, they look like regular cards. They don't have 3D effects on them.
But they were pretty neat. But
yes, they're pretty neat.
So moving on to July. We had a banned and restricted announcement July 8th. Bridge from Below was banned in Modern. This was part of the Hogak Bridge Vine deck that was basically destroying Modern at the time. It was just basically, I think it was a combo using Hogak, Bridge for Blows in your graveyard, which if it's in your graveyard and a creature is put into your graveyard, then you get a zombie, a 2-2 zombie. I think that's how it works. But they were able to loop like a milling combo with Hogak and Altar of Dementia, which allows you to sack a creature and then mill someone equal to their power. So they were able to run people's decks out and cause them to lose. And that deck was pretty efficient. So they ended up taking Bridge from Below out to get rid of it.
Makes sense. Wizards also introduced the London Mulligan, which, in case y'all don't know, the old Mulligan rule was you draw your 7 cards if you didn't like it, and you reshuffled, and you drew 6. And then if you wanted to keep that one, you scryed one.
Yep.
And then you would go down to 5, scry 1, and so forth. With the London Mulligan, you now draw 7 every time. Which is pretty cool.
And
then for however many times you mulligan, and this is obviously standard, it's a little different in multiplayer formats, but for every time you mulligan, you then have to put a card on the bottom of your library.
Yep. So all around, just a good change. The quality of games has been a lot better. There are, as we've been playing with it more, there are some negative attributes to it. Sometimes making decks a little too consistent, being able to grab that turn one drop that can really propel your deck just by, you know, mulliganing pretty aggressively into it. And, you know, seeing a 7 card hand every time you mulligan, it definitely gives you a lot more options for a keepable hand.
Also being able to find that silver bullet, which is more of a thing in Modern, but finding that silver bullet for your opponent's deck.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and then July 12th, we saw the release of Core Set 2020, which was centered around Chandra. It had 3 copies of Chandra, one at Uncommon, one at Rare, and one at Mythic. Other planeswalkers were Soren, Vivian, Mu Yanling, and a Johnny. Mu Yanling is like a very fair card.
She's just incredibly fair for a 3-mana walker. Like, she just comes down, she just makes something, have -2/-0 and lose flying, and then the next turn she makes a 4/4.
Yeah.
But you can't make the 4/4 immediately, because if you did, she'd be busted.
Yes.
So, just a solid card.
Yeah. We also saw the Cavaliers in every color. Most of which have seen some play in Standard. I mean,
I think the white one has seen
the least. The white one's seen, definitely seen the least. But other than the white one, I mean, the red one wasn't seeing any play until these Fires of Invention.
Neither was the blue one. Blue one's all no play until Fires of Invention.
Yeah.
The green one saw the most play in the beginning.
Green one definitely saw the most play. That was probably partially because of Field of the Dead.
Yep. Allowing you to ramp. So that's Cavalier of Thorns. They're all 5-mana. All triple, well, how would you say it, mana? Triple mana wise. It's 2 colorless and 3 of the same color for all the 5 colors of magic. But yeah, just some really simple cards, simple designs. They had each enter the battlefield's effect, and then they had a death trigger. The green one saw the most play in the beginning, and then the black one saw some play in some different decks. But then now we're seeing the red and blue one the most in the Fires of Invention decks, because the red one is really good at killing people, and the blue one is really good at drawing cards.
Yeah.
So just it's like a solid cycle.
And then also in that mythic cycle there, we had 3-color legendaries, which honestly, all these have seen, not all of them have seen standard play necessarily, at least not consistently, but, you know, mythic legendaries. There's other formats that like legendaries, right?
Are there? I don't know. That's a good question.
Likes a Brawl and Commander.
Yep.
But yeah, it's all Yark, which is the Soul Tie. Oh god, I'm going to mess this up. Kethis, which is
Zobzon, which is the white, that one. White, black, green.
Yeah, I can tell you the colors.
Oh, you just don't know the names of them?
Not off the top of my head. Kalia,
which is Mardu, which is white, black,
red. You would think I would know that one.
It's okay.
Kai'Kar. Honestly, I can't even tell you what Kai'Kar is.
He's Jeskai.
Okay.
That's white, white, blue, red. As you can tell, David did not play during the Cons of Tarkir block.
I did not.
So he doesn't know the clan names, but it's okay.
But we had, and then Omnath, which was Teemer. I know Teemer.
He knows that one.
Teemer energy, damn it.
I'm pretty sure that's the only, like, out of all the color combos, it's the only one that's been used the most recently, like, in the last 2 years. And actually been, like, part of the name of the deck.
So. Yep. But then there was also a heavy elemental theme in this set. One powerhouse at the uncommon level was good old Risen Reef. Reminded some of us of our buddy Opal Rogue Refiner.
Yeah, but I think Risen Reef's way better.
He is. They at least made it a 1/1 instead of a 3/2.
Yeah, that's for sure. Just a really good card. Enters the battlefield. It's either it triggers on itself or it triggers on another elemental, so there's a lot of elemental synergy in this deck. You can reveal the top card of your library. I think it's just look at the top card of your library or draw the top card of your library. If it's a land, put it on the battlefield. You may. Yeah. I think it's something like that. Yeah. Some kind of weird word.
Pretty close. That's pretty much what it is.
But just a really good card. Saw play alongside Omnath. There was a Teemer Elementals deck in the beginning of the standard when the set came out, where Omnath was able to synergize with all the Elementals, drawing you cards, putting counters on stuff, dealing damage, all kinds of stuff. Just a really fun deck.
Yeah. We saw the printing of some enemy hate cards.
Man, seen those in a while.
Yeah,
I think at the time when I did when we did our, I think it was one of our first episodes. We talked about it. It had been like 4 or 5 years. I think Dragons of Tarkir was the last time we saw any hate cards, and so these are enemy hate cards. So we had Aethergust, Fry, Noxious Grasp, Devout Decree, and Bale of Summer. One of each color. And since there are enemy hates, you've got the blue one hating on the red and green, the red one hating on the blue and white, the black one hating on the white and green, Devout Decree, which is the white one hating on the red and the black, and Veil of Summer, which just hates on everything.
It was supposed to only hate on blue and black, but
ended up just taking a lot of decks, like, just out of the format.
Yeah.
Just a powerhouse that will soon, in a few months' time, you find out that it gets banned in quite a few formats. Because it's just the fact that it's a one mana green instant that can draw you a card and save your creature or save a spell. Just a great card.
Yeah.
OP.
And then we saw the reprint of the Ley Lines.
Yep.
The Ley Lines?
No.
I'm asking because I have no clue.
So they reprinted... three of them. They reprinted three of the original Ley Lines. So,
Anticipation is the white one, right?
No, that's the blue one.
Right, that's what I said. Oh boy. The green one got banned in Pioneer.
Yeah, Ley Line of Abundance.
Yeah, there you go.
And we had the white one, Ley Line of Sanctity.
And
the red one, Ley Line of Combustion, I think.
Yep.
The black one is Ley Line of the Void. So,
never heard of that.
Ley Line of the Void. Ley Line of Sanctity and Ley Line of Anticipation are all considered like OG. I think Ley Line of the Void is the only OG because these were originally printed in the original Ravnica set, but they were reprinted again in the core set in like 2010, 2011, and they created new ones for some of the colors that weren't as good as the black one, and that's where we got the white one and the blue one. And then again, when the more recent printing, they made a brand new red one and a brand new green one again. Green one proven to be pretty good in comparison to its last two versions. But yeah, just a nice staples. Just some nice modern staples. Ley Line of the Void was getting pretty up there. Because this was around the time Hogak was getting really good. So Graveyard Hate was the top list. So you just wanted to have Ley Line of the Void, which was, you know, like a $40, $50 card before the reprint. Ley Line of Sanctity was like $30. Just a really good pick against Burn and stuff like that.
Yeah. Soon after the Core Set 2020 release, we had Mythic Championship 4, which technically goes to me. I don't feel good about these modern ones going to me. Doesn't seem fair.
You're saying you don't want to watch somebody play modern on an MTGO?
No. I'm saying the fact that I get a point because it's a paper tournament.
Right, you're right.
But yes, it was modern, so it was in paper. And Thoralf? Ooh, man. Severin? What is Toffle?
That's his nickname. He goes by Toffle.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I've never heard of this
He's
dude.
A really cool guy. He played Mono Green Tron and took it to victory.
I believe that he's really good. Or really cool. But I just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won with Mono Green Tron.
Yep. So.
Cool stuff.
Playing the Urza lands, tapping them out for like 9, 10 mana, cast Nulamog, GG.
Yep.
Yep, it's basically what that deck does.
And then there was also some spoilers or reveals about Throne of Eldraine already.
Well, I don't think it was. I think this was the Project Booster Fund, which was their little announcement where they also announced the name of the set. They didn't announce anything. Like, Throne of Eldraine announcement, like, took forever. Like, I swear, every year we've heard about the fall set way more in advance than they gave us Throne of Eldraine. But they're keeping it secret because I guess they're putting their finishing touches on their new booster packs, which they have three new booster packs. We got the draft boosters, which is basically the standard boosters, the boosters we know. We've got theme boosters, which is the color variant, so just the colored boosters. So you buy one of these, you get X amount of cards in one color. And then you have the collector's boosters, which were like the premium boosters with foils and alternate art cards and stuff like that, which is where they announced that. And then they talked a little bit about the new card art styles, so like the fairy tale border, gave us a little sneak peek of one card, but didn't actually. That's where also we got to see the first design of the storybook mechanic, which at the time everybody was like, "That looks weird," and I was like, "Ah, it'll probably be cool."
Yeah,
and it ended up being really cool. I really like adventure cards.
What was the card?
It was Goldilocks.
That's not the name of the card.
Flaxen
Intruder.
You're right. You got it. Okay. It would have taken me a while to think of that. I was turning through them. I had little chases running up in my brain, throwing filing cabinets and stuff.
But yeah, they also announced Brawl 2.0. So they were like, yeah, we released Brawl last year, and it didn't do too hot.
And we forgot about it.
And we didn't support it. So they were like, let's release these Brawl decks. So for those of you at home that don't know what Brawl is, just in case. Brawl is essentially very similar to Commander, where you have one Commander card, And instead of being a 100-card singleton deck, it is a 60-card singleton deck. And it rotates with standard.
That's it.
Yeah.
So
the big thing is it rotates. Yeah. So you have to reinvest in it, which is why Wizards probably likes it a little more than Commander.
Yeah, it had a very interesting reception when it first came out. People were like, why? Are you telling me I'm going to have to buy all these like cheap, unplayable standard cards to just play them with this set or play them for Brawl, and then when they rotate I'm just not gonna have cheap unplayable standard cards that I don't see play in other formats? Okay.
I mean, yes. I have a trash can, so
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
But yeah, so I played Brawl when it first came out. I think David did as well.
Yeah,
I made a few decks. It was fun, and it still is kind of fun. I haven't built a Brawl deck since. I play Brawl on MTG Arena only on Wednesdays.
Yeah, no Brawl-a-days.
Don't Brawl-a-days. Boycott Brawl-a-days. Don't pay them 10,000 gold to play Brawl. Tell them to make a mode so you can play it whenever you want.
Exactly.
Without paying money.
But yeah, these Brawl Arena decks, or sorry, not Arena decks. They are on Arena too. But these Brawl decks, they decided to put some nutty cards in them.
Yeah, like an Arcane Signet. Nice little, like $20 rock at the time. Just a 2-mana to add one color of your commander's identity to your mana pool.
Yeah.
Good card.
They had shocks in them?
Yeah.
I find it very odd that there's almost more value in the Brawl decks than there is in the actual commander decks.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, Brawl's back. They're supporting it on MTG Arena to a degree. And supporting in paper with new decks, and they've announced that they're going to keep releasing Brawl decks. They haven't announced when, or I don't think there's going to be any with the arrows, I'm not sure. But yeah. And then we're going to take a quick little peek into standard metagame for M20. So still the same standard season, so you're going to see a lot of similar decks. We've only pulled out, you know, 5 decks that kind of emerged out of this set. First off, we got Vampires. So the new Sorin, he's a mono black Sorin. Really good at you know, helping out your vampires. He's got two abilities that help out vampires, and then the third just puts a vampire on the battlefield. So you've got some big boys in your deck, like Duskwatch Legion, I think is what he's called.
Yep.
He's a 5-mana vampire that when he enters, he draws you cards, and you lose life equal to the amount of vampires you control. So really good at refilling your hand. Just a really good deck. This is the first time we've kind of seen a creature type focused deck like a vampire's deck or anything like that be really good in standard, and I think it's just because they brought in a lot of support. Knight of the Ebon Legion, another really good vampire, just a 1-drop that can buff himself up to a 4/5 with Death Touch for 3 mana, and then he just grows whenever you deal damage. Every time you deal 4 damage a turn, he grows. So
yep,
he's just a good card.
We also had Jund Dinosaurs, which was Jund.
Yeah.
It had the new Shifting Ceratops, which is a green dinosaur that has protection from blue. So, decent for that
fact. Can't be countered.
Yep. Can't be countered. Rotting Regisaur, which is a big 7/6 for 3. But you have to discard on your upkeep, so it's fair.
You still get the draw, though. So
you
discard it before you draw. So if you're empty-handed, it doesn't affect you at all.
Yep. And then Marauding Raptor, which is a pretty cool magic card.
Yeah. Smacks your dinosaurs when they come in, makes him bigger, he gets angry, he activates your dinosaurs' enrage abilities.
Makes him cost 1 less. I'm going to do this next deck.
Okay.
Because it's my baby.
Okay.
Simic Flash. The old Simic Flash. The new Simic Flash is good too. But this is the old Simic Flash, which was all Flash. Oh yeah. I love this deck. So Night Pack Ambusher, we got our Wolfie boy that spits out a 3/3 if you didn't cast a spell on your turn. Well, it's really a 2/2, but he gives all your wolves +1/+1.
He's a
4/4. No, the token he spits out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, Night Pack Ambusher is a 4/4. Mono blue counters. I don't know what that note is.
It's just all the mono. It's all the counters that were in the mono blue Tempo deck are also in the Simic Flash deck.
No, but it's got a... I'm forgetting the name of the card right now, but the Simic counter Merfolk dude.
You mean the
2 blue and 2 green?
Little Mystic?
Yeah, that one. There you go.
I'm pretty sure it's a girl.
Yeah, it's dude is androgynous.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's a dude.
Yeah, no. You had Frilled Mystic too. I forgot about that card.
Yep.
Just a good card.
Yep.
Counters your stuff.
No, you can have this dumb deck.
Okay. Bant, Scapeshift. This is a deck. Scapeshift. This was a deck that, like, people were like, oh, it's meme-y, it's fun. You're playing Field of the Dead before people realized how stupid Field of the Dead was. I know some people were already realizing how stupid it was, but they were like, oh, you know, play Bant, blue, white, green, play some ramp cards, just ramp a lot, drop Krasis, draw your hand, and then play Scapeshift, which was 4 mana, 2 and 2 green for a sorcery, sacrifice X amount of lands, and then search your library for X amount of lands, put them on the battlefield. So people were able to do that and trigger Scapeshift like 15 times.
Yeah.
X. And they would use Teferi, Time Raveler, to cast it on your opponent's instep. And then come back to your turn, you'd have like 15, 20 zombies that could all attack.
Yeah.
And so it was just more of a combo deck. Wasn't too oppressive because the deck had not been optimized. They were just kind of going more memes for Scapeshift.
Yeah, something like that. Then last, we had some Teemer Elementals, which we touched on before, but basically it was Omnath with some Risen Reef and trigger, get lands on the battlefield faster, trigger Omnath again, make your Elementals bigger, throw a Nissa in there because, you know, Nissa's good.
And she makes Elementals.
And she makes Elementals. Oh my god, they are Elementals.
Yeah, they are. 3/3 Elementals.
Just so, yeah. Then moving into August, we had the commander decks. I don't think we need to spend too much time on them because this is not a commander.
Yeah, they just made 4 new commander decks. They were all based on mechanics.
We had Madness, Morph, Populate, and Flashback. Yeah,
some of them had value. They were neat, more value than last year, but still, they're still lacking a little bit in value in comparison to the Brawl decks, which were just spewing at the mouth with value.
And then the most exciting thing in the month of August was the BNR announcement because of the unbanning of Rampaging Ferocidon.
They brought him back for 2 months until until he rotated. They brought
I don't even know. Was it 2 months?
Yeah, it was about 2 months. Rotation happened in October.
You sure?
No, it was like a month and a half. It was like a month and 2 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Yeah, he wasn't long for this world, but he died for Hazoret's sins back in Ixalan Standard. And they finally brought him back. They figured they were like, it's safe enough. They got a month left in Standard. Nobody's gonna buy and play this card. He did see play. He was good.
They also unbanned Stoneforge Mystic in Modern.
That card spiked so hard. It was like $30, and then it spiked to like 90. And I was gonna buy a copy of it to build like a Commander Swords deck, but then it spiked. So
feels bad, man.
Oh, well, I don't want to build that deck anymore anyways. I found a better deck.
But then we also had a couple of bannings in Modern. So we got rid of Faithless Looting, which was helping Arclight Phoenix be a very dumb deck. And then they finally banned Hogak because they wanted to tell everybody that Hogak wasn't the problem. Kind of like Oko.
Bridge for Below died for Hogak's sins.
Yep.
They do that a lot with new, shiny new cards.
Yeah. And then Arisen Necropolis, which I have no clue what that card.
That's Hogak. Sorry, it's on the same line.
Oh, that's his name.
That's his name.
Oh, gotcha.
Hogak, Arisen Necropolis. He's literally a city of dead bodies.
Oh, I thought he was like Prince. He just had one name.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no, it's two really solid bans. They took Faithless Looting and finally yeeted it out of the format. I've been waiting for that card to go for a while. Unfortunately, by them getting it out of the format, they were using it to kind of slow down the Graveyard Dredge decks, but in turn, it also really hurt the Phoenix deck. But the Phoenix is still good because they've got other 1-mana and 2-mana cantrips, so they're still doing all right. But losing Faithless Looting was pretty debilitating.
Yeah. Moving into September. Historic is announced.
Yay! I was so depressed by this announcement because I was like, I spent all of like July and August like going to the local game store, picking up staples. I'm like, this saw play in Battle for Zendikar, picking up my Gideons, and I was like, ooh, let me pick up some Tireless Trackers. Those saw play because at the time I was predicting that they were going to announce a new format that was going to be, I don't know, Origins Forward. So I was picking up a bunch of cards that were really cheap at the time. And then they announce Historic, which is Ixalan forward.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Chase was drinking that Reddit Kool-Aid.
I was hard. I was so bummed with this announcement. I was just like, are you serious? This is standard plus.
But then it's okay. You know why? Because Garruk's coming back.
Garruk is back, baby. He just came in like Shrek, somebody once told me, and then just like wrestles a bunch of guys in a room and then eats a cookie, and then the cookie stabs him in the eye. It was a great trailer.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
But, yeah. I think, so we've got the last quarter here left.
So we're going to kind of speed through this one a little bit.
Because we've talked about it in the previous episode.
Yeah, this is all new. This is more recent news. So Throne of Eldraine came out October 4th, had a lot of broken cards. Oko, Once Upon a Time. Questing Beast is pretty good. Fable Passage is a fetch land that you don't have to pay life for. They had a bunch of legendary artifacts. They were good. The Embercleave is the best one right now. The Great Hinge is the second best. The other three are trash. The Royal Scions, another 3-mana planeswalker that's not as OP as Oko, but still really good because it goes up to 6 loyalty. We had Garruk, not as good as people thought, but he's still fun and he's Garruk and I love him. And then we had adventure creatures like the Killy guy, the
Murderous Rider.
Murderous Rider. I was just keep thinking of Swift In, which is his effect. So he's a kill spell / adventure creature. You had the giant guy. I cannot
Beanstalk giant.
No, well, yeah, that guy and the other giant guy.
Oh, shoot. There's another giant.
Yeah, he's the one that stomps.
Oh!
The red one.
Yeah. Well, stomp is the spell.
Yeah. I can only remember the names of the spells. I can't remember the name of the adventure creatures.
He's a 4/3.
Yeah.
That deals 2 to the player whenever you target him.
Something. That card. It's like, I've been playing with these cards more than anything, but I cannot remember their names for the life of me.
That's the problem with Arena. You don't have to say the card names.
You're right. You don't have to say, I'm playing this. You just drag and drop, and it just plays it, and then it dies. And then you have, so that's Throne of Eldraine. Really overpowered set. A lot of cards got banned from the set. Definitely one of the strongest sets we've seen in years that has been directly in Standard. Just a lot of powerhouse, and a lot of decks have been, a lot of decks that were, you know, M20 stuff. Yes, a lot of stuff rotated, but Eldraine was just so strong that it kind of created its own archetypes alone. We had a banned and restricted announcement October 7th. No bans.
Ha!
Yep.
There was no broken cards at that time.
No, not yet. And then, so Unstable Unsanctioned was announced in October, which is the, I guess I call it the Game Nights 5-deck bundle thing that's coming out in February, which is going to be like new and returning Un cards. So that's cool.
Yeah, I like Un stuff.
Yeah, we'll buy it. We'll play it. We'll do that stuff. Mystery boosters were announced. We didn't know what was inside of them at the time. They just said, hey, mystery boosters. Yeah.
Honestly, I still don't know what's inside of them. I know what's in, like, I know the what's inside of them, but I don't know.
We'll talk about it in a second. Mythic Championship 5, October 19th. It was Standard. It was on MTG Arena. This one was won by Javier Dominguez, which, that's confusing. Oh, no. Okay, yeah. I was like, he has a card in Throne of Eldraine.
Yeah.
This is world champion, but that was from the last year. Anyways, yes. Javier Dominguez won with Gruul Aggro, which is fitting. I don't even think he played that card, though, in his Gruul Aggro list. But
no, I don't think he did.
But just a good deck. This was right before Oko started to be really good. So we saw some Simic ramp decks. We saw Field of the Dead, and then there was Gruul Aggro. Gruul Aggro was good against Field of the Dead, but bad against Simic Oko. But ended up having some pretty good matchups and ended up beating the Field of the Dead deck in the finals. And then October 21st, this is when things started.
It wasn't an emergency ban.
No. Not at all. Nope. It just happens. See, in October, every year, they just decide to have two ban and restricted announcements instead of one, just in case. You never know. So Field of the Dead is banned, which kind of propels Standard into probably one of the worst states I've ever seen Standard in, and that's the Oko apocalypse.
But then, along with that, Arkham's Astrolabe was banned in Pauper.
That was also banned. Good Riddance allowed a lot of like four or five color shenanigans decks that were just really good because you can draw cards and then just fix your mana in like an environment without like really good dual lands.
Yeah, and then nothing else happened.
So moving on to November.
Okay, something else happened.
Something did happen. Pioneer was announced. So this was my day. This was my life. This is the reason this podcast exists, because of Pioneer. It's my baby, and I love it. And I was so excited because Historic being announced in that, what was it, 2-month period? So Historic was announced in August. No, in September. And then Pioneer was announced a month later. I don't know why they did that, because they must have done it because they must have known that Historic would have turned a lot, made a lot of people sad and start selling all their cards that they bought, because that's what I did. I started selling and getting rid of a lot of the cards I picked up for what I thought Historic was going to be. And then they announced Pioneer, and I'm sad because I traded away and sold a bunch of cards that I thought weren't going to be in a new format. So, surprise, but hey, I'm okay with it. I love Pioneer. I love all the sets. I love that Pioneer is starting where I started playing Magic, so I get to play all with all these cards that I used to play with back in the day. So, a lot of nostalgia for me.
You know what I remember from October 21st?
What?
I was stuck in a closet at work. And my phone was getting blown up by some people, Chase included.
Yeah. That happens a lot. You getting stuck in closets and stuff.
Well, I'm not normally in a closet. But
you don't live in a closet?
That day I was in a closet.
Yes, I did in fact blow up David's phone. So hyped. And I've been hyped ever since. And Pioneers, they're treating this format so well. And it's just getting so much support from Wizards. I'm so excited for what is going to come next year. I know SCG and Magic Fests are going to have a lot of Pioneer tournaments, so I'm really excited about all the support that they're bringing to Pioneer next year and stuff like that. Okay, now we can move into November. So
there was a lot of Pioneer bans in November, and we'll go over those quickly. So first, on November 4th, we lost Felidar Guardian, Leyline of Abundance, and Oath of Nyssa. Yeah, basically, Oath of Nyssa and Felidar Guardian were both part of
Mono Green Devotion.
Well, no. They worked together in Saheeli combo decks.
Well, no, Oath of Nyssa and Leyline of Abundance.
Well, no, they did both.
Yes, they did both.
Oath of Nyssa was also with Felidar Guardian in the four-color Saheeli decks.
Oath of Nyssa got around.
Yeah.
And that's why she got banned.
Yep. And then Leyline of Abundance and Oath of Nyssa made it way too easy to get big Eldrazi's out on the board.
Oh, yeah. Having a one green ponder that counts as a pip for devotion on your field, you see, and that's not bad.
Let's go ahead and do the rest of the bans in November.
All right, November 11th, Fail of Summer is banned. Get that shit out of here.
Yep.
Fail of Summer, I hate that card so much.
We know.
Oh, I hate it so much. As being a control player, that card tilts me to no end.
Oh, it hurts to get your spells countered? Oh, I'm so sorry.
It doesn't even counter them. It just makes them not effective. If it just said counter a spell, I'd be okay with it. But it's just like, your spell still resolves, but it does nothing. It makes me cry. So that's it for Pioneer bans. Let's step back a second. Mystery boosters were revealed. 1,000 different cards. All original arts, original borders, which was pretty cool. They have I think now they have a full card list for it, but it's like 1,000+ cards. There's a lot to look at. A lot of commander cards, a lot of standard cards, a lot of pioneer cards, a lot of different reprints. It's not a reprint set. It's more of a fun drafting set.
True.
But that's going to come out later next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playtest cards are cool.
And then we had Mythic Championship 6, which, was tabletop, so that's 4 for me, 2 for Chase. But yeah, this was the Oko Mythic Championship. There was a lot of Oko going around, and while the pros, it was honestly interesting watching the matches, but it was the same match over and over, was the issue.
And those matches with,
because they were very skill intensive, they were.
But they go so long. Yes. And they're always the same. It was not a very fun, for the most part, not a very fun tournament to watch. Just a lot of the same. But it was cool seeing pros outplay each other, which is my favorite part of Magic. But yes, most certainly an Oko filled championship. I think 6 out of 8 of the top 8 decks were all Oko 4-ofs.
And the other two were like Selesnya Adventures and
like a.
And a
Golgari
Adventures, yeah.
Yeah. So, November 18th, they had some bannings in Standard again. You know, they had some in October, and then boom, in November, Oko's gone. Get him out of here. Once Upon a Time, gone. Veil of Summer, gone. Get all those cards out of here. And you know what? Ever since, Standard's been pretty all right. For the most part.
Yeah.
This is pretty all right. There's a few more decks now, but I mean, some of them are still pretty good.
Yep. Oko was banned in Brawl.
Yep.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. Oko's done in Brawl.
Yeah. What are you saying? The card you can cast predict or always on turn three that turns your opponent's commander into something you can't use isn't good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Legacy, Renin 6 was banned, which we talked about that in the first episode.
Looping land destruction. Anyways, Secret Lairs, they were revealed, 7 different sets.
Yep.
They're going to have more of them next year, early next year. I picked up one. The foils curve so quickly.
Indiana humidity.
I'm pretty sure no matter where they just curved, but mine curved really quickly. So
we're going to talk about this in future episodes. I'm going to go buy a damn Pokemon booster pack
and see if they curl as bad.
No, they don't. I can tell you they don't.
Oh, okay. Secret Lairs. Then in December, we just recently had that banned and restricted announcement in Pioneer, where Once Upon a Time, Field of the Dead, Smuggler's Copter is banned. Then we had the Mythic Championship 7, Peter Golgowski, we're winning with John Sacrifice, MTG Arena, by the way. Then we had they announced suspending cards in Historic, so Oko, Once Upon a Time, Field of the Dead, Veil of Summer. Very similar amount of names. It's like I keep saying the same cards keep getting banned in different formats. Speaking of which, December 16th, Pioneer banned Oko and Nexus of Fate, making Oko the number one banned card, being banned in 4 different formats. Field of the Dead, Once Upon a Time, and Veil of Summer also being banned in 3 different formats.
That's what happens when you walk around with your shirt off and a six-pack abs and making everybody jealous.
Yeah, he made me too jealous. So that finishes up to the year. That brings us to where we are now in the end of December during the holiday season. But what do we got soon? We got 2020 coming up.
Yep.
Bunch of new stuff we got. Theros Beyond Death coming out early January. Spoilers starting on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. This podcast is pre-recorded in front of a live audience 5 days before it releases.
Shit, there's people here.
No, I use the laugh track of dead people. Theros Beyond Death coming out in January. Ikoria, Lair of Behemoth coming out in April, I think. April, May. Corset 2020 coming out in July. Zendikar Rising coming out in the fall. A lot of exciting stuff happening next year. I know they said they're making more commander decks. So there's going to be a new commander set.
There's a lot of commander stuff coming out in 2020. 2020.
Definitely going to be a year of to talk about. But for here, we're going to talk about some of our predictions. So I'll talk about my predictions first because I'm special.
Got that right.
So I think I'll just kind of talk about some of mine. So I think MTG Arena, I think there's not going to be Pioneer next year. I think that they might add some kind of 4-player multiplayer mode, which would be pretty cool. Maybe like 4-player brawl. That'd be fun. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's my hopeful prediction. I think Ikoria, Lair of the Penis. So I know Mark Rosewater talked a little bit about it. Nothing's really been said about it. I know it's a new plane, but he's talking about they've created a brand, or they're using a brand new mechanic that's never been seen in Black Border. It's like some kind of beast creation mechanic where you might be able to like put creatures together. So maybe think about Unstable with the host augment type cards. So maybe my prediction is that they're borrowing something from Unstable and bringing it into Black Border, maybe in a different way. But I think that'd be interesting. Corset 2020, we're going to see some Teferis. I don't think Teferi is going to be as OP as 3-mana Teferi. I think he's still going to be really playable. But I hope that they don't make all 3 of them playable, because that would be fun for everyone else.
Who knows if there's even going to be 3?
Well, yeah, who knows? I don't know if they're going to go with like what they did with Chandra. I think in Zendikar Rising, we're not going to see fetch lands, but even if my heart wants them, we're not going to see enemy fetch lands. I think we're going to see some kind of new cycle.
Maybe you will see the fetch lands
as masterpieces.
Yeah.
They might bring masterpieces back. We saw masterpieces for a while for like 3 different sets, and then they discontinued them with Ixalan, and we haven't seen them since. I don't know if collector's boosters are replacing masters, or if masterpieces are their own thing. I don't know. But those are, in a nutshell, my predictions. What are your predictions, David?
I just have one bold prediction.
All right, what you got?
Teferi's dying.
You think he's going to die? When's he going to die?
Corset 20.
You think they'd kill their token character?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
He's dying. Bold prediction for a reason.
I'm going to hold you to that. I think, though, we're going to see a new Planeswalker in Corset 2020.
Oh, that's so bold.
I mean, to be fair, we haven't seen new walkers other than this year and last
Oko?
Year. And this Corset. I'm talking about the Corset. Typically, they just reprint old Planeswalkers with new cards. Well, I mean, other than 2019, 2020 being the outlier with Vivian and Mu Yanling, I don't know. It's not a very bold prediction, all right? It's me playing it safe.
Come on, man.
If I'm betting, I'm betting on the fact that we're going to see a new Planeswalker in Corset 2020. But yeah, I also think we're going to see more pets in MTG Arena. And they're also going to find more ways to take our gold.
Not me gold.
Not me gold.
Not me lucky chance.
Any other MTG 2020 predictions for you, David?
I mean, I don't know, man. I like to just go with the flow.
You're right.
I don't worry about it too much. We've had this discussion in the past.
We let it happen. Or at least David lets it happen. Yeah. I sit there and stare at it until it changes.
Yeah. Chase sits. Tomorrow, Chase is going to be sitting here just watching as spoilers come.
Oh, I'm going to be refresh. I'm going to be F5ing the magic page, magic articles page so much because we're going to get our first spoiler. We're going to get a spoiler on the Christmas. For those people that celebrate Christmas,
it better be Santa Claus.
It better. That'd be odd. That'd be funny.
Theros has Santa Claus, right?
Maybe. But anyways, anything else you want to talk about, David, before we close it up for the day?
Nah, fam.
All right, bye.